thank you for having me on the program. My name is Tom Ellis, E-L-L-I-S. I live in Albany. I work as a teacher at a not-for-profit school, and I teach social studies, and I've also worked in support of Palestinian rights for about 40 years since I first met Palestinians. And I'm part of a group called the Palestinian Rights Committee, which we formed in 1982 after the Israeli invasion of Lebanon.
Welcome to Hudson Mohawk Magazine, or returning, your familiar voice on Hudson Mohawk Magazine. Currently, there was a recent attack in Palestine. What is going on? What just happened?
Where to begin? Israel did a preventive attack, or so they said, on Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. And I think they killed 45 or 46 people, including 16 or 17 children, and injured a few hundred others. Periodically, Israel attacks Gaza, where there are more than 2 million Palestinians. More than half of them are less than 18 years old. The Gaza Strip used to be called the Gaza District. In 1948, when Israel was established, the Israeli militias and armies displaced most of the Palestinians from what became Israel. And the population of the Gaza Strip, it tripled. And at first, these people lived out in the open and then in tents, and then more permanent housing were built. So most of the people who live in the Gaza Strip are refugees, or the children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren of refugees. And Israel has not allowed these people to return to their homes, ever. And so they're still there, and it's very densely crowded. And Israel and Egypt, to some extent, maintain a military blockade of Gaza and have for 15 years. The area is very impoverished. I think half of the adults are unemployed. And it doesn't have to be that way, because Palestinians are a very well-educated group of people. Palestinians and their supporters have all kinds of blueprints that have been drawn up over the years for how to rebuild Gaza and how to make it prosperous and beautiful. And the Israelis simply don't allow that to occur. They generally refuse to allow building supplies to come into the area. Limited amounts of fuel are allowed in. Even medical supplies and medicines are limited. Electricity is not continuous 24 hours a day like we're used to here. It's a hellish living condition that most of these Palestinians live in, and for the youngest ones, it's what they've experienced since they were born. And why Israel does this, I'm not sure, but I know that they want to maintain control, that Israel is a Zionist state, and that means that the leaders of Israel are a group of Jewish people who have a particular political ideology, which is such that they are determined to maintain total Israeli or Jewish control over Israel and its occupied territories, that the Palestinians will not be involved in any of the important decisions, and that the goal of Israel is to maintain that, to extend that, to perpetuate that, and to reduce Palestinians to poverty and to hopelessness, and hopefully the Palestinians will leave. That's what the Israelis want to do. And, you know, this is a horrible system, a horrible ideology, and the Israelis should change it, in my view. And so periodically they bomb Gaza and they murder Palestinians. They've demolished 60,000 Palestinians' homes since 1967, which is almost 1,000 a year. They even destroy schools. They've bombed hospitals and clinics. They cut down Palestinian olive trees. They damage the economy. It's really a very bad situation.
You mentioned preventive attacks. How would you respond to the argument that the Israelis feel threatened from the Palestinian, from the Gaza Strip?
Well, I think the Israelis are threatened by the Palestinians from the Gaza Strip, but the reason they are is because they impose such hellish conditions on the Palestinians. If the Israelis were to treat the Palestinians as their brothers and sisters, to treat them fairly and equally, I think over the course of a few years or a few decades, the tensions would evaporate as the oppression ended. And I'm certain that that would occur. But when people are cornered and they're fenced in and they're periodically attacked, some of them are going to fight back. And that's what happens. The same thing would happen to anybody, that you or I have a right to self-defense if we're under attack. It may not be the best thing to do, but we have every right to do it. So Israel needs to ease up on the, you know, end the repression and become the country that it says it is. And I think then there would be no threats, or there would be very few threats. I mean, there would still be occasional violence because some people would always hate each other, but it wouldn't be like it is now.
Pretty much all the parties rallied together to get Netanyahu out of office. What has changed now that Netanyahu is no longer in the highest power?
I'm not sure that anything has changed. I talk to Israelis and I talk to American Jews and I talk to Palestinians, and many of them say that Israeli elections don't change anything as far as the Palestinians are concerned, that the new Israeli leaders are these hardcore Zionists determined to keep expanding Israel and to not make peace with the Palestinians. And so from the perspective of many of the Palestinians, I know it's like it doesn't matter who wins the Israeli elections, that really nothing changes for the better, and things just keep gradually, slowly changing for the worse.
So Biden, on a recent trip over to the Middle East, he met with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. Where does Biden stand in supporting peace negotiations? And in addition to Biden, what other world powers are getting involved in this Israel-Palestine conflict?
I'm not sure I can answer the second part about what other world powers are getting involved. Surely the United States is the key player. The United States provides Israel with billions of dollars in military aid every year. And the United States also provides Israel with diplomatic protection at the United Nations. I think without that protection, the UN Security Council would have imposed sanctions on Israel a long time ago, which might have forced them to change their ways. As far as Biden's trip, he met with Abbas. Abbas, I think, is 85 years old. He's been in power for a long time. There haven't been Palestinian elections in 15 years. He's viewed by many Palestinians as a corrupt conniver with Israel, that he's illegitimate, that he's like a second occupier to some of the Palestinians, that the Israelis are like the main jailer and he's like the internal jailer. I know I hate to talk like that, but this is what some Palestinians think. Although he maintains a bureaucracy, so people work for his Palestinian Authority, so he does have some support. But the Palestinians need elections, and they need to have elections that are internationally observed and that are fairly conducted, which they've done in the past. The last time they had elections was in 2000, I think, 5 or 6, and Jimmy Carter observed them, and he said they were about the most fair elections he'd ever seen in his life. And he's, you know, he had been to elections in many countries. So the Palestinians need elections. They need to, all of them need to be able to vote. The Palestinians are very much physically separated. People from the Gaza Strip can't travel to the West Bank or vice versa. People from the Gaza Strip generally can't leave at all. It's about twice the size of Manhattan along the Mediterranean. Many people in the West Bank can no longer travel into East Jerusalem, even though East Jerusalem used to be part of the West Bank. There are Palestinians who live in refugee camps in Syria and in Jordan and Lebanon. Many of them cannot leave those refugee camps, or they can't leave those countries. So Palestinians are physically divided, and it would be tricky to set up a system where they could all vote, which is what they should be allowed to do. And I think if they could vote, much better leadership would emerge than what we've got with Hamas and with Fatah and the Palestinian Authority. I'm certain of that they would have way better leaders, and probably a lot of women leaders and younger people. I would like to see Biden rescind or revoke some of these Trump policies where the United States recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, for Biden to revoke that, to repeal that, to say, no, that's not our policy anymore.
And just briefly giving context to why Jerusalem is important here?
It's a very important religious city for three major religions.
Well, great. Thank you so much for joining us today on Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Well, thank you very much.